ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
श्रीमद् भागवतम सिक्स्थ कैंटो चैप्टर फाइव एंटाइटल्ड नारद मुनि कर्स्ड बाय प्रजापति दक्ष टेक्स्ट 20। शास्त्रस्य पितुरादेशम् यो न वेद निवर्तकम् कथं तदनुरूपाय गुणविश्रम्भ्युपक्रमे। ट्रांसलेशन। नारद मुनि हैड आस्क्ड how one could ignorantly defy one's own father. The Haryashvas understood the meaning of this question. One must accept the original instructions of the Shastra. According to Vedic civilization, one is offered a sacred thread as a sign of second birth. One takes his second birth by dint of having received instructions in the Shastra from a bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, Shastra, scripture, is the real father. All the Shastras instruct that one should end his material way of life. If one does not know the purpose of the father's orders, Shastras, he is ignorant. The words of a material father who endeavors to engage his son in material activities are not the real instructions of the father. Prabhupada gives a very elaborate and descriptive explanation. Bhagavad Gita 16.7 says, Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha jana na viduh asurah. Demons, who are less than human beings but are not called animals, do not know the meaning of pravritti and nivritti, work to be done and work not to be done. In the material world, every living entity has a desire to lord it over the material world as much as possible. This is called pravritti marga. All the Shastras, however, advise nivritti marga, or release from the materialistic way of life. Apart from the Shastras of Vedic civilization, which is the oldest of the world, other Shastras agree on this point. For example, in the Buddhist Shastras, Lord Buddha advises that one achieve Nirvana by giving up the materialistic way of life. In the Bible, which is also Shastra, one will find the same advice. One should cease materialistic life and return to the kingdom of God. In any Shastra, one may examine, especially the Vedic Shastra, the same advice is given. One should give up his materialistic life and return to his original spiritual life. Shankaracharya also propounds the same conclusion. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. This material world or materialistic way of life is simply illusion. And therefore, one should stop his illusory activities and come to the platform of Brahman. The word Shastra refers to scriptures, particularly the Vedic books of knowledge. The Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rig and Atharva, and any other books deriving knowledge from these Vedas are considered Vedic literatures. Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. And therefore, it is these scripture whose instructions should be specially accepted. In this essence of all shastras, Krishna personally advises that one give up all other duties and surrender unto him. Sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. One should be initiated into following the principles of shastra. In offering initiation, our Krishna consciousness movement asks one to come to the conclusion of shastra by taking the advice of the supreme speaker of the shastra, Krishna, forgetting the principles of materialistic way of life. Therefore, the principles we advise are no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating. These four types of engagement will enable an intelligent person to get free from the materialistic life and return home back to Godhead. In regard to the instruction of the father and mother, it may be said that every living entity, including even the insignificant cats, dogs, and serpents, takes birth of a father and mother. Therefore, getting a material father and mother is not a problem. Whether you like it or not, you're going to have it. In every form of life, birth after birth, the living entity gets a father and mother. In human society, however, if one is satisfied with his material father and mother and their instructions and does not make further progress by accepting a spiritual master and being educated in the shastras, he certainly remains in darkness. The material father and mother are important only if they are interested in educating their son to become free from the clutches of death. As instructed by Rishabh Dev, Pitana Sasyad, Janina Sasyad, Namochayetadya Samupetam Rutyum. One should not strive to become a mother or father if one cannot save one's dependent son from the impending danger of death. A parent who does not know how to save his son has no value, because such fathers and mothers may be had in any form of life, even among the cats, dogs, and so on. Only a father and mother who can elevate their son to the spiritual platform are bona fide parents. Therefore, according to Vedic system, it is said, Janmana Jayate Shudraha. One is born of a material father and mother as a Shudra. The purpose of life, however, is to become a Brahmana, a first-class man. A first-class intelligent man is called a Brahmana because he knows the Supreme Brahman, the Absolute Truth. According to the Vedic instructions, Tad Vijnanartham Sa Gurum Eva Abhigachet. To know this science, one must approach a bona fide guru, a spiritual master who will initiate the disciple with the sacred thread so that he may understand the Vedic knowledge. Janmana Jayate Shudraha Samskaradhi Bhaved Dvijaha. Becoming a Brahmana through the endeavor of a bona fide spiritual master is called Samskara. After initiation, one is engaged in study of the Shastra, which teaches the student how to gain release from the materialistic life and return home back to Godhead. The Krishna consciousness movement is teaching this higher knowledge of retiring from materialistic life to return to Godhead. But unfortunately, many parents are not very satisfied with this movement. Aside from parents of our students, many businessmen are also dissatisfied. Why? Because we teach our students to abandon intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex, and gambling. If the Krishna consciousness movement spreads, the so-called businessmen will have to close their slaughterhouses, breweries, and cigarette factories. Whole economy will collapse, which is based on these four pillars. Whole building is standing on these four pillars. Therefore, they are also very much afraid. However, we have no alternative than to teach our disciples to free themselves from materialistic life. We must instruct them in the opposite of material life to save them from the repetition of birth and death. Narada Muni therefore advised the Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, that instead of begetting progeny, it would be better to live and achieve the perfection of spiritual understanding according to the instructions of the Shastras. The importance of the Shastra is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 16:23. Yah Shastra Vidhim Utsrujya Vartate Kamakarataha Nasasiddhim Avapnoti Nasukham Naparamgatim. One who disregards the injunctions of the Shastras and acts whimsically as he likes never achieves the perfection of life, not to speak of happiness, nor does he return home to the spiritual world. Prajapati Daksha offered fantastic prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord appeared. And unfortunately, Prajapati Daksha, instead of pleasing the Lord and trying to satisfy him by asking for what was needed for him, asked for what he wanted. Empower me so that I can populate this earth profusely. It's good helping the Lord follow the conditioned souls, and that's it. But the mentality, Daksha, expert, materially expert. Simultaneously, there is a sense of your job is done and my job is also done. I also enjoy and your job is also done. So one Acharya says, it's like accepting Krishna as a cosmic bellboy. The first time I heard this, it didn't click. Cosmic bellboy. Bellboy means ting ting, you ring a bell and a boy comes. Yes, sir. Order. I order, take, get me this. So these are ordinary bellboys in hotels, restaurants. But here is a cosmic bellboy. Ting ting, and yes, sir. God, give me this, and this also simultaneously. The cosmic bellboy. And what is the bell? Prayer. Yes, is someone there? Come, yes, sir. So, Daksha asked, and he got. And he got. Krishna fulfills the desires. He seated in everyone's heart whatever they desire, not just desiring, he made himself deserving to fulfill his desire by the austerity and proper process of prayer. And the Lord fulfilled. All right, here you are. 10,000 sons. That is Daksha. Expert. Whatever job, thorough. At a time. We have heard of triplets, quadruplets, hexaplets, septuplets. What does the Guinness Book of Records say? Highest? Seven? Seven. The most highest in current history, modern history, is seven. But Daksha got 10,000 in one stroke. So, and still Daksha
appearing to be very pious, told that, my dear children, go and do little tapasya, little puja every morning, 2 minutes you should do, and then do what I am doing. That's worst. That's worst. If you are flatly say, I am a materialistic person, that's one thing. But another thing is, in the name of God's service, appearing to be halo around, having a halo around the head, to have the same mentality. In Hindi, they say, kisi ke kandhe pe banduk rakh ke goli marna. It's a very interesting analogy, if you see. You want to shoot down someone, but you don't want to get your linen dirty. So you place the gun on somebody else's shoulder. So from the front, whoever sees it looks like this fellow is shooting. You stand behind, put a finger under his arm and press the trigger. You are pressing the trigger. It is your desire to actually shoot down someone. But a facade is kept in front. And that is, this man is shooting, not me. That's worst. A hidden agenda. You want to do it, but you don't want to show that I'm doing it. That's what is the problem with Daksha. He thought, he exactly understood his father's desire. He thought he understood, but he actually did not understand his father's real heartfelt desire. And therefore, another father, a true representative of the father, had to come and remind them that actually this is not what your father wants. Your father wants this. And that's the whole Vedic process. And any father, pita na sasya, who is not, actually, what do you speak of a father? What do you speak of a mother? What do you speak of a leader? Anyone who is accepting any leadership position, who has influence over some dependents, if he does not become a transparent via media of the Supreme Father in executing his mission, to that extent, it is cheating. It is asura. This is asuric mentality. Sura means those who are dvaubhuta sargav lokesmin daiva asura evacha. There are two kinds of living entities. Dvaubhuta, very clear, two clear cut categories. Dvaubhuta sargav loke asmin. Asmin loke dvaubhuta sargav, two kinds of created beings. Daiva asura evacha. Clear cut, daiva and asura. Vishnu bhakta bhave daiva asurastad viparyayah. Who are devatas? Real devatas are devotees who are dedicated, who are subordinate to the will of the Supreme Lord. Asurastad viparyayah. Anyone who is disobedient or disregards the orders of the father and doesn't become subordinate to the father is an asura. Clear cut distinction. However nicely he presents himself, whatever be the package, whether it is Vedic package or materialistic package. But that is asura. Otherwise, how is Ravana, who was a worshipper of Lord Shiva, was very austere, profusely austere, is categorized under the asuric category? Abhiman dekha, gyan kisi ne na dekha. It's amazing. There are two kinds of propagandas going on in this material world. Two clear-cut kind of propagandas. One is of the asuras and one is of the devas. Yeah, who is more prominent at different times? In the material world, obviously, they are more prominent. The asuras are more because this is place. It is their locality. And those who are devotees who are trying to preach are in a wrong place in that sense. But they have to do that job. Just yesterday, we were mentioning so much propaganda going on, especially in Dadar, if you see, board after board, every 10 seconds, by the time the train crosses from one platform and one end of the platform to the other, Ravana, I have to see Ravana. Shakti dekhi, bhakti kisi ne na dekha. And the day before yesterday, on the most auspicious of Gita Jayanti, there was another propaganda from one end of the railway bridge to the other end of the railway bridge. At every 10 feet, there was one live notice board. Just like in the spiritual world, everything is alive. Even the sound system is alive. It's a person. So we had live billboards. Devotees holding 80 of them, I was told. From one platform. And there were two stalls. One on this end, one on that end, and in between also. And a person walks in, and there are 10 or 15 devotees at regular intervals. Bhagavad Gita, Gita Jayanti. Parivar mein sukh chahiye, to Gita le lo. Parivar mein shanti chahiye, to Gita le lo. Anand chahiye, to Gita le lo. Gita. And if he climbs from this platform, he wants to go there or get the other end of the railway bridge, there is a stall there to cater to his need. And if he gets from this bridge, the other side also there is a stall. In between, he decides to go in between, there is another stall at the junction where you go down. So constant bombardment. Do this. It's completely absorbed. So whose propaganda are we going to accept? Here is Daksha Prajapati sent his sons with a mission. And here is Narada Muni. He's come. He has his own mission. And there is bound to be ghrshan, or friction. There's bound to be friction because there are absolutely two different instructions. And therefore there's bound to be friction. That's why Krishna says in the Gita, in the second chapter, Yanisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati sayami yasyam jagrati bhutani sa nisha pashyato mune. What's night for the self-realized is a day of awakening for the ordinary man. And what's the day of awakening? Is night for them. So they go to sleep and these fellows wake up. And these fellows go to sleep. They wake up and always are disturbing each other. Because they are two different agendas. So here in this verse, after Daksha Prajapati sent the Haryashwas to the holy place, Narayan Saras, where the river Sindhu meets the Arabian Sea. At this holy lake, the Haryashwas, 10,000 like-minded brothers, all of a similar mentality, came together and started performing penances and austerities. And because of that saintly atmosphere and the presence of the sages, it was influenced, and they were so pure. And Narada Muni could not tolerate something so wonderful. They are all ready to achieve the perfection of the life. This is what the Supreme Lord wants. And here they are. Let me get a good son. So why? They should beget progeny, of course. As Jesus said, stop being the fishermen of fish, come with me, and now fish, become the fishermen of men who are drowning in the ocean of birth and death. You create progeny, no problem. Family life without sex life. Narada Muni has so many progeny. So many people consider him their eternal father because he gave them a birth, new birth. When you take a new birth, you have a new set of parents. That's new birth. You can't have two births, two sets of parents. Installment, you know. Even Jarasandha was born same, but only put together. So new birth means a new set of parents. So Narada actually gave them a new birth. How did he do? It's very interesting. Narada, as several times discussed in the previous classes, Narada was, when a person understands the heart of the Lord, when a person understands the essence of the scriptures and has thoroughly digested it, that is the first requirement. Number two, a deep concern to fulfill the mission of the Lord. Such a person can powerfully and effectively preach. There is a subtle difference between compassion and weak-heartedness. Sometimes if compassion overtakes, the heart overtakes the head, then you fall in Maya. But if the head only overtakes and there is no heart, you become a big scholar, but you can't effectively preach according to time, place and circumstance. But when the deep desire is to actually please the Lord, and at the same time, purity is the force ultimately. You have to remain. Krishna gives the intelligence how to do it. Narada, the glory of Narada Muni, whomever he meets, Narayana Dadati. He will give Narayana. If you meet Narada, finished. It's only a question of time. When you will get Narayana, that's all. That's the question. It little varies according to your intensity. But you're bound to get it. So similarly, Narada Muni has come here with deep concern and is saying such nice, austere, pure-hearted children of God who are forgetting their father and in the misconception of life, understanding themselves to be someone else's children, are trying to execute the will of their father sincerely. But they don't know the heart of the father. They don't know the instructions of the Supreme Father. And therefore, he has now begun his instruction. And he gives he prepared a objective test. What do you call that test? Marking test? Not multiple choice, but objective. You just have to tick mark. Objective test, yeah. He's prepared a quiz, 10-point quiz. Knowing that these people, you know, if you say something too simple, they need engagement. How to engage them? Feel inspired, actually. So according to time, place and circumstances, these people really gave them 10 quiz, like a quiz master. Okay, 10 points. Understand this. And the proof of their intelligence is 10 questions. Immediately they got the answer and perfected their life. Now we may read this 10 times along with the purport. Still somehow we don't realize. That's Kali Yuga brain. Arjuna heard the Bhagavad Gita just 1.5 hours. Nashto moha smritir labdha tvat prasadat mayachuta sitosmi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. Because he was completely receptive and understanding and very intelligent and quick to grasp, 4 things happened in 1.5 hours of hearing the Gita. All his illusions were gone. He got his original memory back. Absolutely no doubt about the position of the Lord and position of myself in relationship with the Lord. And therefore, what's the result? Karishye vachana, I have to execute your duty, that's all. Jiver sorubhoye krishna niti das. Das has to serve the boss. Finished. As simple as that. Without any second thought, he just surrendered. We hear the Gita so many times, year after year. But that's Kali Yuga brain. Keep on forgetting, forgetting. Therefore, we keep on remembering, 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 reminding, reminding. Nityam Bhagavata Seva. Every day. If you miss one or two days, what was said? I forgot. What are that words? Who is God, by the way? It may even go to that extent. So, they immediately grasped it. The last of the riddles is explained. Narada Muni had told them. He put in 3 verses 10 riddles. And this is the 10th one. And what are the 10th one? Katham swapidur adesham abidvamso vipaschitaha anurupam avijaya aho sargam karishatha. Alas, your father is omniscient, but you do not know his actual order. Without knowing the actual purpose of your father, how will you create progeny? You are taken upon yourself the responsibility to fulfill your father's instruction of creating progeny. But, aho, how unfortunate, he says, katham swapitur adesham vipaschitam. Vipaschitaha, vipaschita means all knowing. Swapituhu vipaschitaha, very, very all-knowing, a very great personality, all-knowing personality. Swapituhu adesham, without understanding his instruction. Avidvamsaha, because of not understanding. Avijaya, not actually realizing his instruction. Anurupaya katham karishyata, how will you do? How will you execute the order of your father without understanding what is the heart of the father? Why has he given you? An order is given to execute, to fulfill the desire. Unless you know what is the purpose in executing the order, how will you fulfill the order? It will be foolish. Before executing an order, you have to understand what the master wants. What does he at the end of the day wants to achieve by following the order? You don't even know, and you are about to follow the order. Understand the heart of the father. And the Hariyashvas properly understood. How do they understand? This is the verse. Shastrasya pituradesham yona veda nivartakam katham tad anurupaya guna visrambhi upakramet. Yo na veda, one who does not know. What does he not know? Shastrasya pituradesham, the Lord's desire is expressed through the scriptures, the word of God. The Lord has given his word. He has ordered every living entity. Dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge. Again and again he comes and gives his order. He tells, this is what pleases me. This is what I want you. In fact, this is what I have created you for. Just do this. So, shastrasya pituradesham yo na veda. And what is the sign of one who does not know? He says, what is the order of the father? Nivartakam. Nivartakam is translated as which brings about the cessation of the materialistic way of life. This is the only purpose of this material creation. That the moment we are convinced that we are not meant to be here, we are actually meant to be in the spiritual world serving the Lord with love and devotion, there is no need for us to be here. Then we have executed the order of the Lord, executed the order of the Father. So, the main, any scripture, Prabhupada gives the example, take the Buddhist scripture, take Shankaracharya, Buddhist is completely, who have rejected the Vedas, But even they agree to this. They have rejected the Vedas for some purpose. But still, even they agree that this materialist worst thing is to be renounced. Shankaracharya, an impersonalist, still he agrees that it has to be renounced. Bible says it has to be renounced. One thing is common. Everyone accepts that this is not the place. At least this can convince us that one common underlying thread in all bona fide scriptures of the world, one thing they say is, this is not the place. Go back home, back to Godhead. Go to the kingdom of God. That's one, nivartakam. That's the first principle. And then, so to basic, having got the human form of life. Prabhupada, amazing sentence. Just listen to this. This is like you have a sophisticated way to slap a person. He won't understand what happened. It takes an hour for him to say, my God, that was a slap. Prabhupada says so nicely. Bhagavad Gita 6.7 says, pravrittim cha nivrittim cha jana na vidur asura. Demons who are less than human beings but are not called animals. They are less than human beings. Of course, less than human beings, who else? All are quadrupeds or whatever, multipeds, whatever. Less than human beings but not called animals. Then what are they? They are asuras. What a definition. Who are less than human beings but are not called animals do not know the meaning of pravrittim cha nivrittim cha. They don't know what is pravritti, what's to be done and what's not to be done. What's to be followed, what's to be not followed. What is to be worshipped, what's not to be worshipped. What's to be accepted, what's to be rejected. Therefore, shastras are very important. Shastra comes from the root word shas, means to govern. How to govern our lives? Shastras are also like a map. Where are we? Where we have to go? And it also like the compass, true north, which is the direction. Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana. Otherwise, bahushakha. Otherwise, you are misled. You don't know which direction to go. It's like going to a new place without a map, without a guide, without a person there. You are lost. You don't know where to go. You don't know what will happen next. It's a fearful situation, actually. And anyone who has Shastra, who has access to the Shastra, and Shastra can only be understood as Tasmat Gurum. Tadvijnanartham sa gurum eva bhigachet. But the Shastra is for all kinds of people, from the lowest to the highest. The whole purpose of Shastra is only one, to push. Push where to where? Push a person to the point of absolute surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the only purpose. Sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. To push, 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 push. Gradually push that person and bring him to the region. Finish. Back home. Back to Godhead. But people are not ready to be pushed. They're so selfish, so egocentric. Egoistic. That I know better. In fact, if you are not careful, they will push you. You have to be very careful. And unless you are strong, you can't push. You can't budge unless you are strong. So first of all, you have to exercise. You have to become strong. Deep in conviction, deep in faith. That's a Madhyam Adhikari. You can't become an Uttam Adhikari. You know, like everyone hold and mass pushing. That we can't do. We may not be... But at least don't be Kanishtha Adhikari. Please, please, sir. No, 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 no. You come with me. Acha? Okay. Let's not be Kanishtas. But Madhyama Adhikari is one who may not be able to convince everyone. We see this during book distribution. Not able to convince everyone. No time. Achha. Mere ko bhi time nahi, par aaya to hoon main. So sometimes you're not able to convince. But they shouldn't be able to convince you. If you feel like that, that is the time to stop, close down, and come here and hear a little more. It's like, take a breath of fresh air, then go again. One time I remember, I went to distribute books, and there were this, one was a African man, huge, 7.5 feet. He was sitting on the railway seat, but he was looking as he was standing. I was looking him face to face, though standing. And the other one was some, maybe an Australian or something, by his accent. He didn't speak, of course, but they were speaking. Both huge. And I was like looking at them face to face, holding these books and, excuse me, I have this Bhagavad Gita, 700 verses, and so many slides, and so many nice index, that, with all I was speaking. If they accept, that's okay. If they say no, that's all right. The worst is, they were looking as if I didn't exist. As if, you know, in the middle of the air and I am speaking and I have disappeared and my voice is not heard. They were seeing through me, you know, somewhere else. Both of them. For a second I wondered, you know, how to relate to them. I'm just not able to. And both not speaking a word, not even acknowledging my presence, what to speak of my words. For the first time I started, what am I doing? Achha khasa ghar mein tha. Khata pita sota. What am I doing running in railway train and pushing all it? My faith, you know, like this was a month after I came. December, around that time only. So I was wondering, what am I doing? And I was very shy. What if my friends see me here? Because they were in Bandra. So if they see me, what will happen? Immediately packed up and came back. So it's very difficult. Faith is also like electric potential froze from high potential to low potential. If their faith in Maya is stronger than your faith in Krishna, you may be affected. So therefore, first of all, we have to chant your 16 rounds and then equipped with your enough faith with prayers, then we go out into the field. It's like kabaddi, you know, take a deep breath and then you go. Touch the line and in case you get someone, bring them. So, nivartakam, actually the first principle is push a person to the point of surrender. But because Shastras know the deep-rooted conditionings of the different levels of conditioning of people, there are gradual way of pushing people. Little by little, little by little, little. For some, we invite. For some, we push from behind. Whatever. But if you push too hard, you will never see him again. But if you don't push him, he will remain where he is. You have to push. That is maturity. Maturity means just to push at the right time, at the right place, to the right extent. So that he goes forward. How best to do it? And if it's completely ready-made, give them the ultimate thing. Otherwise, yeah, in Chan, good, very nice. But little more. After 3 months, you say, still there? Little more now. Very nice way of doing it. So nivartakam, ultimately, the whole thing is gradually bring to a point of ultimate surrender to the ananya bhakti, to the Supreme Lord. And that's not possible. That's not so easy. So, therefore, and sometimes you may get so much caught up in the scriptures. In fact, any idea can be justified through scriptures. That's why they say different slokas for different folks. If you want to justify your nonsense, you can justify through scriptures. You can find some quotation somewhere and take half of it. Karmanye madhikaraste. I have a right to perform my duty. So you can justify by taking a part of it, the whole of it, whatever. But therefore, we need actually a person who has understood the heart of the scripture. The purpose of the scripture is nivartakam, ultimately. And that is given perfectly. And the first thing is, at least you are a human being. Become a human being. So, janmana jayate shudra. By birth, janmana jayate shudra. Different places, Prabhupada translates this verse, word in different ways. In one place he says, shudra means one who laments. Oh, my life is wasted. Oh, it's going to come to an end. Always lamenting. That is shudra. A shudra also means not refined in anything whatsoever. Doesn't know how to do things. Doesn't utilize the human form of life. So, janmana jayate shudra. Everyone, by birth, they are shudras. Because they don't know pravrittim cha nivrittim, what's to be done, what's not to be done. Samskarat bhaved dvija. Samskara. Samskara means when we accept a spiritual master. Dvija. Dvi means two, and ja means birth. It's a second birth. That is why a new name is given, and that new name always contains das. As I think some devotees were telling time, one devotee was very much concerned about his name. What is my meaning of my name? What's the meaning of my name? Prabhupada said, forget about the first name. The last name is important. Das is important. Don't forget that. Whether you understand the meaning of your first name or not, don't worry. The second name you realize. You are das. So we have one common thing. All of us, we have one common name. Das. One time I went to one person in the train and I told him, my name is Radha Gopinath Das. Please write down, I said, you may forget. No, I know. Okay, then he came, he had forgotten my first name. Then he said, yeah, ask the operator, I want to meet Mr. Das. So the operator who was sitting at that time here, he said, there are 85 Dasas. Which Das do you want? 85 Das? All are Bengalis here? No. All are devotees here. Then he said, he's tall. That's about 40 of them. He has his specs. That is 15 of them. So like that, you know, he brought down, refined. And ultimately somehow he was able to locate. So it doesn't matter if you forget. He remembered the essence. He remembered the Das part. So, samskarat bhaved dvija. The second birth is a new father and a new set of parents. It is said the Veda Mata, Vedic scriptures are compared to the mother because they point to the father. And the spiritual master, the representative of the Lord, is considered the father. And in here, the scriptures are also compared to the father. How? Pitahamasya jagato mata dhata pitamaha. Ultimately, Krishna is the supreme father. And his instruction is non-different from the Lord. It is Krishna. And therefore, the Vedic scriptures are also considered father. And their instruction is very clear. The first thing, scriptures contain two kinds of statements. Do's and don'ts. Vidhi and Nishedha. And the great acharyas, saragrahi that they are, they have extracted the essence of all of it and given us so simple way, just these four don'ts, and chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna and serve in the mission as a servant or the servant or the servant. Finished. If you are a servant, you have to glorify the Lord, that is chanting the holy name of the Lord, beginning with hearing and chanting, and follow these principles. They are the essence of the don't. And that is why at the time of initiation, there are so many vows, but we take principally these two vows. Principally. I will not do no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit, no gambling. At least that means I will become a human being. I'll become a human being, number one. But don't just remain a Shudra. Samskara means you have to advance. And that is, start chanting. And the wonderful thing about, in the Vedic system, Dvija means one who has this Upanayana Samskara. Today, unfortunately, that system is so much corrupted that you have all of this and meat eating intoxication every day goes on. Simply namesake, this thread is there. But samskarat bhavet dvija. Dvija means they are ready for studying scriptures. That's all. They are qualified now to study scriptures. But then, veda pathat bhavet vipra. Then you start scrutinizingly studying the scriptures. And vipra, Prabhupada, in one place, when Parikshit Maharaj is born, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is, at the time of Parikshit Maharaj's birth, Maharaj Yudhishthir calls some astrologers to study Parikshit Maharaj's whole birth, how he will be like that. He called Jataka Kovidaha. The word is used, Jataka Kovidaha. And in that purport, Prabhupada brings out another beautiful angle to this particular shloka, which I very much, it was like a new revelation. So samskarat bhavet dvija. Dvija means that samskara is there. Generally for Vaishyas, for Kshatriyas and for Brahmanas, these things are allowed, this birth ceremony, this thread ceremony. But then, veda pathat bhavet vipra. And he says, vipra means there were specialists in Vedic studies. Somebody was specialist in Jataka Shastra. Just like, you know, we have so many Brahmanas. If somebody dies, there are different sets of Brahmanas to be called. They are expert in after-death rituals. Some are expert in marriage. Some are expert in this. Some are expert in these things. There are different branches of Vedic knowledge. So, Veda Pathad Bhaved Vipra. So, Vipra, potentially, all can be Karmakandas. They are just stuck in the Karmakanda. So, they are doing these rituals more for their sustenance, more for their livelihood, and this kind of facility for people. They would be provided by the society king and they would do free service for people. Astrology, Ayurveda, that, this. But then, Veda Pathat Bhaved Vipra, Brahma Janati, from Karma Kanda when he went to Jnana Kanda, of understanding that whole material existence is Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, it's all temporary, it's all specially designed to frustrate and create misery for us. Then you read about Jnana Kanda. And then Brahma Janati Iti Brahmana. Then you understand that Brahman is beyond all this. So a Brahmana is more from Karma Kanda. First you start reading scriptures as a Dvija. Then you become, as a Vipra, you become Karma Kandi. You know some scriptures and you can follow that. But then Jnana Kanda, that becomes a Brahmana. But the culmination of Brahminical life is when you come across a pure devotee and understand Upasana Kanda. From Karma Kanda, then Jnana, and then Upasana Kanda. And the culmination of Upasana Kanda is Vishnu worship. Worship of the Supreme Lord. Such a person who is convinced that the purpose of all Upasana Kanda ends with surrender to the Supreme Lord is a Vaishnava. The culmination of Brahminical life is Vaishnavism. And thanks to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and thanks to the great Acharyas, they, without having for us to go through the staircase process of Janmana Jayate, Samskarat Bhavet, Brahma Janati, Brahmana, no. They are putting us in an elevator. The diksha that we receive through a bona fide spiritual master coming in the line of disciple succession is potentially giving us the facility without have to climbing the stairs of understanding all the Vedas to the essence. Just get into the lift and surrender to the lift operator. Don't meddle around. Don't monkey around with the switches. I want to get down here and I want to see this floor, that floor. Just keep quiet. And then the lift will elevate you to the top floor automatically. And remaining in the lift means remaining under the mercy of the Lord. Remaining under the shelter of the Lord's mercy coming through His instructions, His devotees, the deities, etc. Always remaining under the shelter of the mercy of the Lord. Then that mercy can elevate us. Our endeavor is to just remain under the shelter of that mercy. Somehow remain under the shelter of that mercy. Then that mercy will elevate us eventually. So that's the good fortune that we have been given directly. Therefore, we don't have to follow the Vedic process. This is the Pancharatrika Vidhi. The Pancharatrika Vidhi is so simple. Just follow the four regulative principles. But Prabhupada writes here, one should be initiated into following the principle of Shastra. In offering initiation, our Krishna consciousness movement asks one to come to the conclusion of Shastra. Come to the conclusion of Shastra by taking the advice of the Supreme Speaker of Shastra, Krishna, forgetting the principles of materialistic way of life. Therefore, the principles we advise are no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating. The four types of engagement will enable an intelligent person to get free from the materialistic life and return home back to Godhead. This is the first principle. By following these four principles, we come to the human life. But then, actually, if you start refining your heart or purifying your heart, you realize that the roots have gone so deeper. Just like the other day, Sachinandan Swami was explaining that whether lust or anger or greed or envy or pride, there is a gross external manifestation of these things that we see. But sometimes after 10, 20, 30 years of practicing devotional service, still lusty desires come in our heart, still anger comes at small things, at petty things. We become proud. We become illusioned so many times. And he was mentioning very nice. He gave a brilliant example. Sometimes we see devotees in the line performing such a, you know, everything perfectly, everything is going on. The tree, Bhakti Lata Beej, is growing, growing, the huge tree. And little hurricane and the whole tree collapses. And you wonder, what happened? And he was telling that our services are like the responsibilities that we take, the services that we do are like the tree that grows on top of the ground. And he said, the crown of the tree, huge tree, if simultaneously is not supported by the roots gradually going deeper and deeper and spreading wider and wider, then the tree, seemingly a powerful, huge, big, shelter-giving tree, can collapse because the root has not grown. Can you imagine a huge tree with just a root of a sapling? How can it sustain? Simultaneously, it has to go deep. So first thing is, and that he was telling was, our taking shelter of the scriptures, of the association of devotees, actually taking shelter, not just remaining in close proximity of the books, remaining in close proximity of the devotees is one thing, but actually taking shelter is another thing. And unless that the roots go deeper, potentially it can just collapse. So, just I am chanting, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. I am a devotee now. See here, Kantimala. But we may be a Kali Chela. Galar Kanti Hatar Mala. So, the more as Mahaprabhu did through Gundicha Marjan, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains in that purport, why Mahaprabhu took the trouble of cleansing the temple again and again, first the gross, then the subtle, then the most refined aspects in the cracks, all the dust, he removed the finer aspects. Yes, we may be engaging in no illicit sex, but if we are not faithful, chaste to the Supreme Lord, Kunti Maharani, before beginning her prayers, Parikshit Maharaj calls her Sati. Kunti Devi is called Sati. Why Sati? Prabhupada explains in the purport, this Sati refers to chastity. Chastity of the disciple to the spiritual master, to the parampara, to the Supreme Lord. Remaining one part. Otherwise it is illicit sex. Taking pleasure in other kinds of association is illicit sex. Because you want to have a little enjoyment there also and simultaneously take shelter. A chaste woman knows only one shelter. Kunti Maharani expressed, my Lord, I know no one but you as my shelter. In any condition of life, I simply accept. So that is the subtle aspect of illicit sex. Then there is no intoxication. Yes, we have absolutely given up. I don't even touch Cadbury's, you know, since 18 years. Because they contain this. I don't even touch sugar because they have bone thing and this and that. Super, super no intoxication. But then, he's so proud that he's such a pure person. That's the end of intoxication. You're intoxicated. Janmaishwarya Shutashri Bhir Edhamana Madha Puman Na Eva Arhati Abhidhatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gochara. An intoxicated person, because of any material designations or the facilities thereof, potentially cannot helplessly call out. And therefore, the subtle intoxication which comes in Puja Labha Pratishtha, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur elaborates in great detail in Gundicha Marjan purport. What are these subtle intoxicants? We are relishing these intoxicants. We are habituated to regularly taking these intoxications. We are attached to it. If you don't get our quota, we become disturbed. That's intoxication, right? If you don't get, just like the drug addicts, if you don't get, they go mad, they go crazy. They'll do anything for that. So these are subtler. The more deeper you go, the more you go deeper into the scriptures, you realize that the roots are so deep of these materialistic way of life. It's not that best. Now I have a saffron cloth, I have a clean shaven head, and I'm living in a temple, I'm everything, everything is all right. But until and unless we are very carefully introspecting and going deeper, we may not be able to realize. No gambling. What's gambling? Gambling makes the mind whimsical. Every moment, Krishna Chanakya Pandit says, Ayusha Kshana Ekopi Nalabhya Swarna Koti Bhi. One moment of human form of life cannot be purchased by millions of gold coins. And every moment spent in forgetfulness of the Lord, we are gambling away our life. We are gambling away our life. So actually we may not engage in any gambling. We are losing money. Every moment is spent in forget. Therefore, one of the characteristics of an advanced devotee is avyartha kalatvam. Of a advanced devotee. Avyartha kalatvam. Even a moment spent in forgetfulness of the Lord, he just, one moment gone, forgetfulness of the Lord. And then, no meat eating. Prabhu, I don't even take. Forget about meat. Forget about coffee and tea. I don't even take this. You know, sometimes people may. But what meat eating is mahimsya. Himsa. Meat eating means mahimsya sarvabhutani. One should not unnecessarily hurt anyone. And the real principle, the deeper or the full understanding of hurting someone is stopping someone's spiritual growth. Obstructing someone's spiritual growth. And that's what the father, the mother, the demigod, everyone has to do. If you take responsibility of someone, the position of responsibility over someone who are dependent upon you, and if you stop, forget about not facilitating, even if you neglect the growth. In fact, by the way, in child abuse, one of the forms is neglect. You may not abuse. I never beat him up. I never abused him. But I just neglected. That's all. That's another form of abuse. Not giving him the required nourishment. It is the responsibility of anyone, because the supreme leader is Krishna. Anyone who has accepted any kind of position of responsibility over someone else of the living entities, it is their responsibility to actually not only remain in a position to help others, but to constantly facilitate others. And human life is meant for self-realization. So simply providing them sense gratification. I provided them a flat. I provided them a good facility. Finish. My responsibility is done. No. That's what Daksha was doing. In fact, he was doing it much more pious way. But Bhagavat, being the crest jewel of all literatures, from the highest perspective, derides even Daksha literally under the category of Asura. Can you imagine? What a perspective. Nirmatsaranam satam. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is considered crest jewel of all literatures. Even Indra fighting against Vritrasura is seen as a demon, because his interest was not against the instruction of the father of surrender. So that is the responsibility. And Prabhupada explains in Bhagavad Gita, in the 20 divine qualities of Himsa, he said, if we don't preach, that is also Himsa. Because you have the knowledge, you know the Father's will. And if we don't share, if we don't give it to others, through whatever way, whatever facility, whatever ability, whatever time at our disposal, if we somehow do not extend ourselves, whatever way, to facilitate others' growth, then we are potentially demons, meat eaters. That's what it is. In a broader perspective, that's what it is seen. This is the subtler and deeper understanding of Himsa. One Himsa is don't hurt a person. But sometimes, cutting a person is Ahimsa. You say, what? Yes. When a surgeon opens the body of a person, he is engaging in Himsa. He's cutting. It's bleeding. The person is bleeding. And after getting up, he says, thank you, doctor. How much would I pay? Just 20,000. Thank you. I'm so grateful to you, doctor, for cutting me open. Himsa. But that is Ahimsa. What is the motive behind that cutting? Just to protect and save that person's life. Or a high court judge may hang a person to death to protect him from suffering in his next life. So actually, the more we go deeper to the subtler or the complete understanding of these principles, we realize it makes us actually humble, how far we are. And I was reading Giriraj Maharaj's letter to one of his disciples, which Vijay Prabhu, the global minister for book distribution, has put up there. He's telling a little risk. Little risk. Otherwise, we generally tend to remain in our comfort zone. Just yesterday, one lady last night was expressing, she was in car program, and Mahaprabhu, at the end of the program, at 9:30, he was telling, you should somehow distribute books. What are you not doing? She felt, I felt so dejected, you know, like guilty. She was saying, I feel guilty. How can I do? Then he said, see, you can ring up or do something. And she decided she would do something. And at 12:07 a.m. at night, she had distributed her quota of 10 books or something, right? One, she went to a medical shop to that fellow. Anyway, you always take from me, and now you take. And to her watchman, she preached and gave him a book. The last book, her mother bought it. And this lady was telling, she was going to Tirupati by flight, she and her husband. And she was sitting and she was thinking, I'm going by flight, such a wonderful, you know, all facilities there, but I'm not utilizing this. She's feeling a little guilty. She said, how can I sell books? In plane, they don't allow selling. You know, hawkers come, you see, in the plane. They don't allow. Chai. So she was telling, how can I? It's not allowed. Ultimately, she asked one person, the steward, can I go and distribute? I'm not doing it for myself. I just want to distribute. You know, this money will go to the temple. I'm not doing it for any profit. He says, I have to ask the captain. He said, all right, please ask and let me. And he went to the guy and never came back. Almost an hour went. Not an hour, or some time. And just half an hour for the landing. She said, forget it. I'm going to do something. She got up absolutely against her nature. She's never done that, she said. She said, I went and stood at the right at the beginning where everyone was facing me. I said, excuse me, everyone, listen. And she held the Bhagavad Gita. I said, I have come to distribute on behalf of so and so. I am distributing this Krishna, this literature, this Bhagavad Gita is very important and it will be very helpful. She had 10 books. She said, this is there. And she said everything. She had nothing else to say. And she came and sat down. And she said, yeah, any one of you, if you want, you can come and meet me. Half an hour, nobody came. She felt, I made a fool of myself, looks like. And after she got down from the flight, and as she was going, a host of these people crowded her. Everyone is asking me. All the 10 books disappeared. She was shocked. She was shocked. She said, I can't believe. And then I went to Tirupati temple. I had some prasadam. And I saw these book tables and devotees. Tirupati temple subsists on book distribution. They are profuse distributors there. So they are distributing. And she said, there was a Russian devotee. He didn't know one word. He was just holding the book and like a dumb person. So they stood, husband and wife stood beside him. So they would give prasad and tell about the Gita and he would collect the money. So they would distribute prasad and invite him to and tell about the Gita. And she bought a few books from there and distributed. It's amazing. Of course, I'm really ashamed to speak because in this whole marathon, I have not distributed even one book. I have no right to speak. Therefore, the words can have potency when you have done something. You speak for realization. I have no realization, but I can assure you, what I am sharing are the deep ecstatic feelings of the devotees who have done it. It's in the offering. It's ready for you. Whoever wants, grab it. Opportunity is there. Of course, books are running out somehow. We don't have many, but this is nice. And this is the more we extend, the more the Lord reciprocates in an amazing way. So in this way, actually Narada Muni is the real father here. In that sense. He is telling the father's will. That is scripture. And by actually giving this message to others, we are making them from orphans, from anath to sanath. All the people in Bombay may have their fathers and mothers, but they are all anath. They are all orphans. Because they don't know who their father is. They don't know what their father's will is. And any endeavor in ignorance of that will is simply waste of the precious energy of human form of life. If you are not proceeding towards executing that will. And therefore, giving them that connection with Krishna is making them Sarnath. They come to know who their parents are. Sri Krishna Govinda Hare Murare, He Nath Narayana Vasudeva. So Sarnath, the moment you have with Nath, then you become, then Yoga Kshemam Vahamyam. An orphan boy is always in anxiety. But a man, a boy who has billionaire parents, no worry. So, with this concludes the riddles of Narada Muni. And next few verses speaks about how, after hearing what are the action steps that the Haryashvas took in pursuance of the understanding of the instruction of the heart of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Tai Gaura Premanandi.